I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Inmates at multiple correctional facilities in the state of Mississippi are facing an emergency.
The scene is what I call a massacre. My heart is broken because we failed these guys, and we need to fix it.
For the past week, an alarming wave of violence in the state's prisons has led to at least 5 confirmed deaths. Advocates and inmates claim the death toll may be higher. Malika Canada is the founder of the Jaylen Barker Foundation and a prison reform activist in Mississippi.
Since New Year's Eve, I haven't had any sleep until last night. It's been heartbreaking. The most thing of it is fear. What are you going to hear next? At 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm hearing somebody was attacked. 3 o'clock in the morning, you're hearing somebody is attacked. Not being able to help them is the worst feeling that I have had. I just want to change because I have a lot of loved ones that's in there. And I want them to come home one day.
Details of the situation are scarce and sometimes unreliable, with families saying officials are leaving them in the dark. But footage gathered by inmates with contraband cell phones show rundown facilities, fistfights, injuries, and even dead bodies, which they've been sending from the inside. Many of the families say they just want answers.
One of those victims that was stabbed was a family member. You could see him on video being stabbed, them inside the cell stabbing him. And then we call and say, well, where is he? No one is able to tell us anything. So tell us the truth. Let us be there with them because you know that this has happened. Let us be beside them. Let us at least sit in the lobby and say so they can say, well, yeah, he's okay.
This latest violence is only a glimpse at problems within Mississippi's criminal justice system that go back for years. Alicia Santo is a reporter for the Marshall Project, and she's with me now to help us explain what's happening. Alicia, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Let's take a step back here. There are problems within the Mississippi criminal justice system and facilities. Give us a sense of what those are.
The MDOC prison system is extremely understaffed. I'd say that's one of the key problems they're facing and that many prison systems across the country are facing. So when you have a lack of staff, you have a lack of ability to bring people to programs, to have visitors, to let people go to church or work. And you also have a situation particular to Mississippi that we know of where the gangs have a lot of control over the facilities. We did a story about the Wilkinson Prison, which is one of the prisons in Mississippi that's privately run. It's run by a company called MTC. And in an audit that we obtained that was meant to be internal, the prison officials actually admitted to auditors that they relied on gangs to run the facility due to the lack of staff that they had. And if the control did not come forward, if they didn't actually keep control of that particular pod, then they would go on to lockdown. And it kind of leads to this cycle where a lockdown where people can't move leads to very, very high tensions. And as soon as those doors open up, that's when the violence comes pouring out.
Is that what we're seeing now with this latest wave of violence in these Mississippi facilities?
I think it's something you have to think about in the background of what's been happening that led up to all of this.
So we here at The Takeaway reached out to the Mississippi Department of Corrections for comment on what was happening. The extent of their response was a link to a statement that they had published on January 3rd. The statement says that a lockdown will continue in the state's prison facilities while they investigate the recent violence. Have you heard anything else from officials in Mississippi right now about the state of what's happening?
So far, a lot of questions have remained unanswered, including how many other people were injured and what other incidents might have occurred other than the ones that resulted in death. We've often relied on public records requests to do our reporting with MDOC. I mean, I can't say they've never answered questions. They certainly do at times, but I think it's a lot more reliable to use public records law in order to just get the documents.
We heard at the very top, Alicia, from a woman who says she has loved ones inside of these facilities. She's probably not alone. There are many people who do. What information is getting out to folks, the loved ones of inmates right now? Are they able to find out whether or not their friends and or family are safe in these conditions?
Well, as you heard from her and others have said, no, they're not able to get that information. And, you know, that's nothing new either. As we've been doing this reporting, we've been contacted by families who say, for example, that their loved ones have been being extorted, that they get calls that their loved one is telling them that they are going to be raped or assaulted if they don't transfer money into their account so that they can pay off someone else who's saying that this is what they're going to do. And we've heard this from a lot of people. And then those family members will call over and over and over saying, my loved one's in trouble. You need to move them. You need to transfer them. And nothing happens. It's tough because when you have these lockdowns, the phones are also restricted. So unless you have a cell phone, which a lot of people do, but not everyone does, there's really no way to let people know what's going on with you. So I can't imagine what those people are going through.
What about the weapons that are found in these facilities? I mean, tell me a little bit about the actual violence that we're seeing happening here. How are people dying?
We acquired some data from a public records request that documented incidents from July 2016 through June 2019 at the state's six largest prisons, and that includes the ones where some of these murders happened. And over those 3 years, prison officials reported confiscating 4,634 weapons. That's what they have reported in there. Now, I should add that they call these reports working documents that haven't been verified. But it's not clear if they track or use the data they have. But this is what they have in their reports. And that's an enormous number of weapons. The thing about these prisons is they're falling apart internally, which makes it really easy to make weapons because then you have exposed metal. And you can take out pieces of pipe and pieces of the walls and then shape those into weapons. Another thing, too, to keep in mind about weapons is everyone has weapons because everyone has weapons. Like, if you're alone in your cell and you know everybody has weapons, then you want a weapon, too. I mean, it kind of, like, feeds itself. The more available they are, the more everybody feels they need to have one.
Alicia, we're talking about people who have been killed, the weapons that are here, the conditions of the prisons, which are abysmal. Where is the head of the Mississippi Department of Corrections? Where is the governor in all of this? Like, why is this allowed to continue happening?
It's a great question. The commissioner just resigned just in the midst of all of this. One of the issues about prisons and funding is, I think, and I've been told this in other states as well, a lot of Department of Corrections very strongly believe they need more money. They need to pay people more, and they would like if legislatures would give them more funds in the budget. But it's not a popular cause for a state lawmaker to say, and I think we need to up the corrections budget by this much. Like, that's not a stand that a lot of voters are going to feel really strongly about and support. In some states, such as Alabama, for example, where there was a cache of photos that showed very, very violent, bloody scenes inside of Alabama. Now you actually have something you can say, we have to change it. And in some ways, it makes it actually easier for a Department of Corrections to get money when there's a huge crisis. Unfortunately, it shouldn't have to get to that point before you actually fund a prison. You want to send millions of people into prison, but you don't want to fund it. And that's what's going on across the country.
Is that what stands between what's happening now and keeping inmates safe?
I think money's a huge part of it, but it's not everything. But if you pay people, at Wilkinson, they pay people $11.25 an hour. If you pay people $11.25 an hour, which turns out to be about under $24,000 a year, and then you can't recruit people, it's a huge reason why you can't get anyone to work there. Besides it being a really dangerous environment to work in for an individual. I mean, it's scary.
And to be a part of if you're an inmate.
Exactly.
Alicia Santo is a reporter for the Marshall Project. Alicia, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.